Tonight, I don't have a prepared lesson. I do have lots of notes. I've got the next few sermons or messages lined up. But tonight, it's just going to be a chit-chat, sharing. We'll have Q&A afterwards, even Q&A in the middle if you want to. And if you can put up the slide there, one of you back there. I keep looking up there looking for a white projector. After 20 years, it's hard to get used to something different. So tonight, I got a bunch of notes. I'm hoping to get through all of them tonight. I will. I don't want to take this over till the next week. So this is just going to be like a family chat of where I think we're at prophetically. What do I mean prophetically? What I mean is what is the Holy Spirit doing? And so I'm going to give an update of where we've been, where we're at, and I think where we're going. For those of you that have been here for a little while, this will not be a surprise. It may just be laid out a little different. But I know for myself, it helps me to sort of know what's the season we're in. What's the time that we're in? And I'm going to use the metaphor, as you can see from the picture, of furniture. I could have picked quite a few different metaphors, but that just sort of came to my mind. Sean works and redoes furniture, so I even called him today to make sure I had my terminology down. And so we're going to talk about stripping, refinish, and then redeploy that new piece of furniture. And I just found that picture on the internet of somebody doing that. And so this is where we've been at in the church for a long time, and I'm going to give some general time frames for us here. This first phase I call it stripping down. Is appropriate after Chad talked last week. I've not listened to it yet because I just got it uploaded today because I didn't take my computer with me. I was going all this past week to Dallas, Texas, and I was just sick of looking at computers. I brought my phone. I got a little keyboard for my phone, but I didn't bring the whole computer. And he talked on pruning. You can call it pruning, call it stripping. So he might have said the exact same things that I'm saying. If so, then maybe we need it twice. Or maybe you'll just be bored. But I told him, because somebody sent me a picture of his visual aids of all the trees. And I was like, I will never do visual aids again, because how do you live up to that? So I'll be anxious to listen to that this week. I really feel that us as a church, and don't hold me to this exact, some of this, it's not like, is we've been in a stripping process, as I've mentioned here at 5:30 before, for around 7 years, and heavy pruning. And you go in seasons, and I don't know what he said, but there's times where you want them trees to bud. There's times you cut the branches so that they will bud. And I believe for the last 7 years, we've been in a major stripping down process. How many of you ever seen pieces of furniture 50, 100 years old, and they've been varnished repeatedly with different stains? Some of them have even been painted different colors. And it looks okay, but after a while, after several times, they start getting bumpy. It just doesn't look quite right. And you have got to strip it down to the bare wood and then start over again. And that's where the refinishing process comes in. And so as I look back, I'd say roughly 7 years here, and especially the last year, has gotten more intense. And this is typical of the Lord. If the Lord takes you through something and you know He's pruning you or stripping you down, it's not for judgment. It's not because He's mad at you. It's so that you can get some new blooms and your furniture can look good again. Get a new coat of whatever you're going to put on it, usually some kind of stain. And that's His goal. He goes, there's some good looking wood under here and I'm going to bring it out. And it's a very, very painful thing. Now, many of us run when the stripping starts. And I know I've done it. I've seen other people do it. This is what I've learned from the Lord. He will allow you to run. And you will maybe avoid the stripping process. But you don't the new wood that's underneath is not revealed ever. You still got the old coats of varnish on, all the paint on you, and it just is what it is. Maybe it's not bad, but it is what it is. But as soon as you start getting tired of that, you come back and go, bless me, Lord, I want to know you more. Guess what? He starts over exactly where you left off. And in the case of trees, not furniture, but in the case of trees, he's got a lot more to prune, depending on how long you were gone. And so I'm telling you, whatever the Lord's asking you to do, realize He's not out to kill you. He's out to reveal you. He's out to reveal what He created you to be, even if you can't see it. Embrace it. Get through it as fast as possible. Sometimes the stripping may be for a month. Sometimes it may be for 7 years. But the longer that He's pruning you, the longer He's stripping you, that means there's that much more glory, that's much more honor, that's much more revealing He's going to do in you. And so what does that mean by stripping and pruning? It means He comes to you and goes, you know, if you change this behavior, I want you to change this behavior. I want you to change this thought pattern. I want you to change this habit. It's pretty much what it is. Thoughts turn into behaviors, and behaviors turn into habits if you keep doing it long enough. And so it usually starts with your thoughts. Why do you think this way? Well, because my parents thought that way. I thought everybody thought that way. Well, a lot of people do, but this is how I think. And your thinking has produced this behavior. It is so funny. It's not funny, it's sad. I have people come to me, they go, my life is a mess, and I'll say, why? Well, because of this habit and this behavior. Well, what led to that behavior and that habit? You don't just do it, it becomes a thought. Well, you're going to have to change the thought. Well, I don't want to change the thought. I just want the behavior and the habit to change. As it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so the Lord comes to us and asks us to interrupt that behavior. He starts stripping off varnish. In this case, stripping off paint off a kitchen table, it looks like. And those are the habits and the behaviors and the thoughts that have built up. And depending on your background, it may be so much a part of you that you don't even realize it. And so that's why these last 7 years, you know, throw in your number. I'm throwing this as a general. It's been tough because we have built up a lot of layers of varnish. Varnish is not the right word, is it? A lot of layers of stain and paint on top of us, and it's become normal. I think of the phrase, if you have an earthquake out in the middle of the ocean, and if it's near land, what happens is the water on the land, it produces a tsunami wave. But before there's a tsunami, because there's an earthquake, it creates a tsunami wave that goes out and it starts coming into the land. But before there's a tsunami wave, what happens? Y'all know this. It recedes and pulls the water back. See, there's only so much water on the earth. So to get that huge wave, it has to pull it in. It's the same amount of water, but it pulls it into a wave. And whenever that, if you're ever on a beach and all of a sudden it starts receding, run for the hills. Something is about to happen that is not going to be good. But when you, now I've never seen one, but I've heard that when you have a tsunami wave and the earth starts, and the water starts receding, it can go like miles out, depending on how big the tsunami wave is. And then all of a sudden, all this stuff is revealed on the bottom of the ocean. Fish, trash, coral, some of it good, some of it not. And that's really sort of what's happened in the last 7 years in this season. Now, I've been through many seasons of stripping, but this one it seems the biggest, especially this last year. And He's revealed to me my faults that turned into actions or behaviors that turned into habits. Y'all know what I'm talking about? But there's good news. I think we're basically through the stripping phase. And if you go, I have no idea what you're talking about, go back and go, did I hear the Holy Spirit right? Because I doubt He left anybody out. And if you weren't being pruned, if you weren't being stripped, go, Were you ignoring the Holy Spirit? And if so, go back and go, I repent, and ask Him to catch you up as fast as possible. Because it takes time on some of this stuff. But I think we're mostly through this stripping phase as a group. I mean, it's sort of little cycles always going on. But He's been dealing with the muck that's in our lives that we didn't even realize was at the bottom of that ocean or in that table. And a lot of this was poisoning us, and we didn't even realize it was poisoning us. How many of you feel beat up, but you feel freer? Okay? You feel like you got smashed a little bit, but you feel more lighter. Because we've been talking about this a lot. Because He's been, like, this is a great picture. He's been taking the contamination in our lives. How many of you have had inner healing? Or you can call it sozo, or prayer, or dealing with stuff that's been inside of you for decades. And it's like, it's time to deal with this stuff. And the Holy Spirit says, I agree. And once you get it out, you go, why did it take me so long? He's been peeling back the layers of our heart and our soul. And what He's trying to do is break this cycle of thought, behavior, that leads to habits. Maybe it's not destructive, but it's not moving us forward. And in Psalms 24, David is saying, Lord, give me clean hands and pure hearts. This stripping for the last 7 years, and it's been intense this last year. Oh, let me come back to it. Well, I'll say that and then come back to it. It has been a season to give us what David talked about in the Psalms, clean hands and pure hearts. Obviously, he's not talking about hands cleaned with ivory soap. He's talking about hands that do good deeds and pure hearts towards people around us, towards ourselves, towards our jobs. And it's been working. I think we're cleaner. I don't smell any BO in here, okay? We've been getting cleaner and going along. You know, and one of the things that I've noticed as I look back and reflect, because I just wrote this down this last week, look back and reflect the past many years as a church and me. And this is especially important for pioneers, forerunners that are in this room. We are not settlers. We're the ones, almost 200 years now, went out west and said, where's California? We don't know, but we're going west. We know where the sun sets. And if you read the stories, sometimes they'd go up against a mountain and take them a long time to try to figure out how to get over the mountain. That, you know, now settlers can take a plane and 4 hours they're there. I don't know how long it takes in a car, but you get my point. You get there because somebody already charted it out. And y'all in this room with the pioneers, the settlers, I mean, the pioneers and the forerunners, we have been, how do we increase the presence of God? That is, I'm still not quite sure I have much of an answer. You know, he talked about, Chad talked about, he's a business owner now. Somebody comes along in a few years and go, how do you become an entrepreneur and buy an existing business? What are the steps that you have to go to? 3 years ago, it was theory. Now it's not theory anymore. And he could save them a lot of time. The point is this, with pioneers and forerunners like us, we've tried many different things in this church. Just off the top of my head in the 30 years, we were one of the first churches to say women could be fivefold ministers, could be senior pastors. We were one of the churches 30 years ago to get away from hymns, to have small groups. To not have Sunday service. And all of that, except for maybe the women, all of that is pretty much settlers now. Very few people do hymns. Everybody does small groups. Nobody does Sunday night except for us. With a big caveat, we ditch Sunday morning. I could go on and on. Prophetic worship, spontaneous worship. We've pioneered a lot of things. So let me throw this out at you, because this is something I'm seeing. All of that was necessary to get us to where we're at. But a lot of that we've stopped, although it was for a season. I really think we're going into, and we've stripped down to almost nothing now. And it's not just because of our size. It's been intentional. So I want to throw this out for you personally, and I'm using the church because it's a good illustration. There are many things you have ridden, rode, did, that got you to where you're at that He doesn't want to use anymore. Not your business. Maybe the ways you've done it. We are in a season, and this restripping is not just getting rid of the old and revealing what's underneath. It is getting rid of the old and is revealing underneath, but it's also revealing new ways to show His glory, to be ourselves, to bring His kingdom into the earth. And I don't know what those are. Bottom line, we're going to continue to be pioneers and some of the and forerunners in your life, in your business, and wherever at. And some of these things that you're doing, we've never done before. And some of the things we did that got us here, He's saying, kill it. Just a thought. But Lord, it got us here. It did get you here. But do you want to drive a 40-year-old car? Let's drive a new car. It's a metaphor, obviously. Let's see what the new thing is. It takes courage. It takes guts. We're going to have to continue to walk in courage. We're going to have to continue to walk in guts like we've done here as a church for 30 years, like I know y'all, what you've done for your whole life. Why? We're going to do this until Matthew 6 happens. Whatever is in heaven comes to earth. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So have we seen everything that's in heaven yet? Just saying, as we say in the South. You're from New York. Do you know that saying? Yeah, I'm sure you got your own saying. Just saying means, I don't care if I offend you, I'm just moving on. Let me just throw this out. This is a hard one. Some of the things, and you know this, all of y'all are old timers here. Some of the things He's stripping is relationships. That have tangled us up from achieving what He wants us to achieve. Our motives were good. Our thoughts were good. But as we have to give up old rides, old methods, sometimes, now, if you're married, I'm not talking about your wife or your husband or your kids. You may have to relate to them differently. Okay, I'm sure that's happening. But and if this doesn't apply to you, you know it. If this applies to you, you know it right now. There is no deep revy here. You're not having to think through it. You're going, every time I'm around this person, I'm worse off. Now, depending on who they are, you may have to work through it and stay with them. But he also may be going, that season's over with. Some friends are for a lifetime. I'm not trying to be cruel here. Some friends are a lifetime. Some friends are here for a short season. Some are for a long season. And if we're not careful, if you align yourself with people on a regular basis that the Lord doesn't want you to, you will end up in the wrong place. Because they'll pull you in the direction that you're not supposed to go. Let's talk about the church a little bit. So we've been talking about you personally being stripped. The church, which is the body of Christ, the capital C, I'm not talking about this church, although we're a part of that. I'm talking about the church in the world, but especially the West, because we live in the West. My gosh, has there been so much stripping? It's unbelievable. I don't know if you follow National Christian News. I'm not saying you have to or need to. Probably better if you don't. That's just my interest, so I do. I remember probably 6-7 years ago, Rick Joyner, which is the head of Morningstar Ministries, he said, you're about to see national people and local, but you won't hear about those, moral failures on a scale you've never seen before. And I thought, and for 2 or 3 years, nothing happened much. The last 3 to 4 years has been off the scale. I don't want to mention them because it sounds like we're piling on, but we're talking the biggest, most well-known, the biggest church networks, the biggest church personalities, the ones that have been truly the movers and shakers of Western Christianity the last 20, 30 years. We're not talking like some guy that's about half dead somewhere of some half dead denomination. Moral failures of all kinds. It's been absolutely unbelievable. It's been a total almost wasting of the whole top. Well, why is he doing that? He's wanting to strip the church down of all the varnish and paint that we've added on that keeps him from fully revealing himself and resting among us. The mixture, the compromise, the self-ambition. And this is how sin works. All of these named people, and you know them. If you don't know them, Sean made a list of them 2 or 3 weeks ago and shared them with him. I don't know why he did that, but it was interesting. I mean, I knew who they were. I just never made a list. Why is God pointing this out? This is how sin works. So let the fear of God sink in. When you're doing something that he doesn't like and is a sin, he talks to you first one-on-one. And he'll talk to you first one-on-one maybe a long time. But eventually, if you don't deal with it, he will tell somebody else around you, or it'll be revealed to somebody else around you. And all of a sudden, the exposure level gets a little higher. And this has happened with all these national speakers. If you don't deal with it then, you will be publicly exposed. As the Bible says, it will be shouted from the housetops. Now, if you're not a national, if I get into moral failure, it's not going to be on any newspaper. Nobody cares, okay? But it will be shouted to you, okay? It will be shouted to my family. Why is he doing that? It's not to be mean. Because he's going, you have a calling on your life, and I know what it takes to get there. I know what varnish needs to be replaced. And I know that once you move in that direction, you will appreciate it and like it. So it is, as it says in Hebrews, fathers discipline their kids. This isn't like spanking them in the sense just to be spanking them. Discipline means this is where you need to go, and I'm going to get you there and point you there. We often think of accountability as a bad word. It's just accountability for our sins. That is a small part of it. Accountability is accountability to what he has created you to do. It totally changes the game. And so in the church in the last however long, at least 5, 6, 7 years, he's going, I want the performance gone. I want where the name of the church is known more than me gone. I want the celebrity pastor, not saying he has to get out of his position, where I hear his name more than Jesus's gone. I want worship where we call the anointing a change in pitch, a change in tone. I want me and me alone to make the decisions. I'm in the middle of reading this book, and he says a phrase in there that messed me up. He says, is Jesus the master of your church or the mascot? Man. And so he has been doing this in the church. The stripping, we want to get through all these phases here. He's been stripping us personally. I tell you what, this is the first time I've spoke or been here since the election. He has been stripping the world the last 7 years. It's really longer than that. And he has been stripping them. The stripping of America has not started yet. Okay, it's point zero up here. It is about to happen. He has allowed the fullness of sin and iniquity to be exposed in this country the last 4 years. We don't even have to get into the details. Hidden agendas, plots, lawfare, cutting women's breasts, kids' breasts off. The whole sexual immorality thing in the name of gender affirming. The ocean, the last 4 years, has receded and shown the junk that's underneath it. And he has allowed it because Christians, for the first time ever, evangelical Christians, voted more than 50%. They voted 80% in this last election. They voted more than 50%. The reason all this has happened is because Christians stayed in their corner and said stupid, idiotic ideas of why I won't vote. If that 30% had not voted, Trump would not be in. The goal is to get 100%. But that has all exposed the corruption, the deception that's in our own country. And it's been exposed mostly, in the Western thing. And so I believe that God wanted this to never happen. This was not God's will, and in His sovereignty, He did not let it happen. That's a false teaching. You think He wants a million babies a year killed? It happened because Christians let it happen.
Amen.
He says, the heavens is the Lord's, but I have given the earth to man. In His sovereignty, He gave His sovereignty to us. And finally, there was enough of a shift that shifted this thing. Why am I saying this? Because Trump got elected. If you've been following his cabinet picks, we hope they're all confirmed. It's really up to the air because we've got a lot of Republicans that are really Democrats. So why am I saying this? It's good that he got elected. But when he got elected, it was like he put a shovel into the ground and lifted dirt out and let hell out. Next year is going to be hell. You're going to see so much fighting. You're going to see so much division. You're going to see so much demonic warfare. And this is the time he's elected. We cannot sit back and be apathetic again. We're going to talk about this in our leadership meetings. We're going to talk about 5:30. The church is going to have to do intercession and spiritual warfare and binding to get the crud on the bottom of the ocean out. That crud is going to fight back with every demon and witch that they possibly can. It is not going to get more peaceful. And so because he is trying to strip it so that he can refinish it, who knows how many years that's going to take. It's sort of all mixed together. And so us as Christians, this is our opportunity to shine. Some of y'all might have seen that article. It was back maybe a month ago where the witches were trying to cast spells on Donald Trump. Did y'all see that? And they were complaining because they weren't working. They said there's some kind of shield around him. He's going to need that shield. Every cabinet officer is going to need that shield because we want this country stripped. I just came back from a conference in Dallas, Texas, International Coalition of Apostolic Leaders. It's probably about 250 people. It's a small group. But it's people from all over the world. I mean, I ate dinner with some of the most amazing people, and I didn't even know it till I asked them later. One of the people that we ate dinner with, I don't know where Susan went, but one of the people we ate dinner with, we were just talking and using the terminology, what's your mountain? And he goes, this is halfway through the dinner. Everybody was so humble. He goes, I go, what's your mountain? He goes, politics. I said, so where are you at? Minnesota. Minnesota for just 4 years, 2016 to 2020, they're not like Georgia, but the equivalent of our House and Senate was Republican for 4 years, okay? It's the only time in 50 years, if I remember them correctly. And that's when Trump got elected the first time. And he was the head of that, the speaker of the whatever they call it, the House. He's just super humble. Keep talking, find out Tim Walz, who was the vice president of Kamala Harris, a Democrat. They've never had a Republican governor, I don't think. Who knows in Minnesota? This guy that we're just talking to was the guy, the Republican candidate that ran against Tim Walz. We were eating dinner one night with a guy from India, found out he was the convener for India. Convener is like the facilitator for this group for India, okay? He had a church of 2,000 and is over 300 churches. Every night it was something like this. It was unbelievable. And I'm like, and it's just me, Susan, and her, him, or whoever it was that we were sitting by. It wasn't like we were in a group of six or eight. I was cutting up and kidding with this guy from Kenya for 30 minutes, realized he was over all the churches in Kenya. We just told jokes for 30 minutes. And at the end, he goes, man, I feel really refreshed. So maybe that was my gift to him. I don't know. I say this to say this. I say this to make this point. I don't know how much you follow national news, but almost all of South America and Africa has moved to China and Russia for their benefactor in other places. Some of it's economic. But there's one guy that's over the international people. He would be like their focal point, okay? So he has all these contacts. And he just came out, he goes, you know why they're all moving to China and Russia? He said, economics is some. He said, but that's not the major reason. He said, almost all these countries are dictators or some form of heavy socialism. He said, that's not the reason, even though China is. He said, I will tell you personally, and I'm not lying, most of them moved to China and Russia because they're more, in their words, more Christian nations than America. And I knew this, but he expanded on it. He said, all of our foreign aid, you don't get it under the Biden administration the last 4 years. A lot of you are shaking your head. Unless you agree to the woke agenda, transgender, and the LGBTQ movement. He says, we're being forced to do something against our morals, so we're moving to more Christian nations. That's the stripping of America. We are Babylon. And we have been given a doorway to start fighting on this. It says two things. One, he's not giving up on America. And two, he's going to make an example of his judgment. Now, listen to me carefully. This is my opinion. If we do not rise up as evangelical Christians, Trump's agenda will not pass. He is not the Savior. He's just a president. He's not a pastor. I don't even know if he's saved. Most people say he is around them. I've seen a great humility come. This is my point. I don't even care about it. We have got to rise up, pray, and intercede for the next 4 years on a regular basis, or the forces of hell will overcome it. That's pretty intense, isn't it? But if we'll stand here and do this thing, he will refinish America. Let's come back to us. We are in the refinishing. That's probably all I'll say on the nations. But he is in a refinishing state. He's trying to strip the whole world, personally, the church, and nations. And on us, we're refinishing. I really think we moved into this phase in May. And for those of you who've been around, you'll know what I'm talking about. If not, then I apologize. Where me and Chad went to Puerto Rico with Ramon, and we got the final piece of that 40-year, what we needed to do to shift worship for 40 years that we got the September before. And since then, we have been going hard after a younger generation and making sure it's not just younger, but intergenerational. And we've made some progress. This church looks very different than it did 2 years ago. Not just in worship, but in a lot of ways, in our intercession and prophetic gathering, and even in the worlds. And so we've moved mostly, I think, from the stripping to step two up there, which is good. So take courage. He is refinishing us. He's putting varnish on us. I don't know what it looks like. Maybe some of you will get it in the spirit of what this new thing's supposed to look like. And he's not trying to kill us. He's trying to reveal us. And a big part of this is rest. We have talked about rest for years. And I've hit it. We've got songs on it over and over. Now listen to me carefully, because I'm going to add a dimension to it I've never said before. We want to get into rest. We're going to keep getting into rest. But rest is not the end point. Rest is not the goal. Totally. Rest is where we hear from the Lord and he starts giving us stuff to redeploy us. He gives us strategies, he gives us vision, he gives us insight and rest almost 100%, not while we're moving like chickens with our heads cut off. Rest is to reveal him, and then when he's revealed, he starts revealing us and where we're to go in a position of rest. Do I need to say that again, or did you catch that? I've been hitting rest because we thought activity was godliness. And it was keeping us from hearing from God. And so as we've been grasping a hold of rest, we're not going to get rid of rest. We want to live in rest the rest of the time, but we don't just rest. In those times, He's going to give us insight and guidance, and then we move forth in that. Because in rest, this happens. How long have I been talking? Wow. The goal is intimacy, community, friendship with the Father. And it can only come with rest. But in that friendship, He'll start showing us things He wants us to partner with Him. Let's talk about redeploy real quick, because I don't want to go over this again next week. So as He starts giving us assignments, He starts giving us things to do, we're going to do them differently than we would have before the stripping. There's another R would be He's going to give us a new rhythm to do these things. The days of being burnt out, He's wanting to end. The days of being stressed out, He wants to end. You can be busy without being burned out and stressed out. If we're getting burned out and stressed out, we're not doing it in rest with Him. And so He's going to give us stuff to do. I think, honestly, we're going to be busier than we've ever been in our entire lives. But we're going to be able to do it in a rhythm that'll be enjoyable, that'll be fun, that'll be not leaving a trail of destruction behind us. Does y'all know what I'm talking about here? Let me say this. One of the things He's wanting to kill in churches and you individually and us is having to do marketing of ourselves. And we've been this way for a decade, so this is not new, but I continue to have to fight it. If we have to market, you know what I mean by marketing ourselves, publicity, promos. If we're having to do that as a church, if we started doing that, we could get a much heavier volume of visitors in here. I mean, there's proven techniques. And I'm not saying it's wrong, but I don't want to blur the lines. If God wants to promote me, He just promotes me. And so much of what we're doing, much of what I'm doing individually is in secret, in the cave, to use the Elijah metaphor. But I will tell you this, over the next 5 years, the rest of this decade, He is going to promote people that have been following Him in secret and in caves, and we won't have to do the marketing. Because He can trust us with some of His glory. We won't steal it for ourselves. Oh, look how good we've got it. Look, we've got it going on. We'll be humble. We'll walk before the Lord. Because we know He did this thing. And then I don't have to keep it going. I just have to stay close to Him. Let me just close with this because it's been going almost 40 minutes. The glory of the Lord is coming. It really is. And I want Him even more than His glory. But the glory of the Lord often precedes Him. It's coming. I think in 5 to 10 years from now, I know this is a long time, we are going to be amazed at how mature His church is, especially those that say, I want to be a part, I want to be your bride. Now, men, don't get weird. You don't have to wear a dress. Jesus gave that metaphor. Take it up with Him. It just shows how close He wants us to be with Him. As I talked about at 5:30, we are going to be amazed at the amount of people that are passionate with Jesus and are walking in purity with Jesus. whatever that looks like for each person, and are partnering with Jesus. His church is going to be so glorious, we will never even want to mention hardly the name of our church. And when He shows up, it's going to just, He's going to start growing and growing. And that's why we're doing this thing. And He's looking for people that He can rest in and then assign in. And resting in means stripping. And it is going to... Why are you saying this, Craig? Because He died for this. This is His will. This is not Craig's will. I'm just aligning with what He wants. And when Jesus says, I am coming back for a pure white bride in Revelation 19 and 20, and that end is closer than what we think. I am not a traditional, like great planet Earth, Hal Lindsey guy, or left behind Tim LaHaye person. I don't believe in most of that. But I do believe that He's coming back, and He's coming back for a white bride. White means pure. And I think we're going to see a lot of this, if not all of it, in our lifetime. And we're going to be amazed. What does that mean? That's not some ethereal thing. That means it's us. As we walk through our stuff and allow it to be stripped and allow us to be refinished and redeployed. That's what it is. Because, I mean, well, I'm going to talk about this next week, Lord willing. He said it's a bride who has made herself ready. It's not a sovereign event. There's too much sovereignty going on. In His sovereignty, He said to the disciples, I give you all authority. All the way back to Adam and Eve, you go and rule and reign. Do it my way. The disciples do it my way, and then I will anoint you and give you power. But why is there so much evil? Because He's not in control like we think He is. He works through men. He needed the 80% of evangelical Christians to do His plan. If the 50%, which has been historical, has been as low as 30% two elections ago, guess what? He goes, you know, I'm trying, but these guys are clueless. They sit around. They're apathetic. They want to get filled up on Sunday morning, get a little pump, and then leave. I know that's harsh, but He's maturing us. Let's stand before I preach at you anymore. But we're doing it here. We're doing it here the best we know how. We're not perfect. But be excited. It is a major accomplishment what the body of Christ did to get Trump and his cabinet elected. But I'm telling you, hell is coming. I mean, they're already talking about they're not going to confirm the Republicans now, some of Trump's picks. And they have only got a leeway of 3. That is just sick. Okay? And so we won't be able to do the stripping. But it's also in the church. It's in us. We're going to say yes. So we say yes all the time. And we're going to see this thing through because I want our country stripped because I want to live in a country that doesn't shut me down because I have the wrong pronouns. You think I'm kidding? I'm a federal contractor. Can't believe how many classes I have to go to. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. And so we're getting past this. We're going to get to sanity and common sense, which is the biblical way. And so, Father, we come to You and we say thank You for the stripping we've survived. Thank You for the refinishing that we're in. And we thank You for the redeploy. We are ready to see Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. In power, in the fruits, in the biblical principles. And we thank You. We are not negative. We're just realistic. Some people say I'm negative. I'm not. I'm realistic. We thank You that you have opened the door to restore this country to some sanity of kingdom principles. And we thank You that it's happening. And You show us, maybe we just pray. We don't live in Washington, D.C. Maybe that's all we do. But we thank You that our prayers are powerful. Father, I pray every person in here, I thank You that You are refinishing them. And I can't wait to see what that final kitchen table looks like. And then they're going to be redeployed somewhere. That kitchen table is going to be shipped off, bought, done somewhere. And serve people like kitchen tables serve. And Father, we just thank you for it. And it's going to be an exciting year. It's going to be exciting the rest of this decade. And Lord, we live on the edge because we're pioneers. We live on the edge because we're forerunners. We live on the edge because that's where you are. And we want to be as close to you as possible. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Thank you for your patience.